Can I suggest something, please, that all together we'll come here? We'll be good. We'll be close to each other. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Thank you for having me today to have the Bible study on 2 Samuel chapter 16. I guess we'll read the chapter together, and then I'll have 2 points to talk about in this chapter. I may ask someone to read the chapter for us loudly, and we're happy to have Mina Ghali back with us here, so we may give him the task to read the Bible, the chapter, please.
When David was a little past the top of the mountain, there was Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, who met him with a couple of saddle donkeys, and on them 200 loaves of bread, 100 clusters of raisins, 100 summer fruits, and a skin of wine. And the king said to Ziba, "What do you mean to do with these?" So Ziba said, "The donkeys are for the king's household to ride on, the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine for those who are faint in the wilderness to drink." Then the king said, "And where is your master's son?" And Ziba said to the king, "Indeed, he is staying in Jerusalem, for he said, 'Today the house of Israel will restore the kingdom of my father to me.'" So the king said to Ziba, "Here, all that belongs to Mephibosheth is yours." And Ziba said, "I humbly bow before you, that I may find favor in your sight, my lord, O king." Now when King David came to Bahurim, there was a man from the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera, coming from there. He came out, cursing continuously as he came. And he threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. Also Shimei said thus when he cursed, come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. Now you are caught in your own evil because you are a bloodthirsty man." Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord, the king? Please let me go over and take off his head." But the king said, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, 'Curse David.' Who then shall say, 'Why have you done so?'" Then David said to Abishai and all his servants, "See how my son, who came from my own body, seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjamite? Let him alone and let him curse, for so the Lord has ordered him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, and the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing this day." And as David and his men went along the road, Shimei went along the hillside opposite him and cursed as he went, threw stones at him and kicked up dust. Now the king and all the people who were with him became weary, so they refreshed themselves there. Meanwhile, Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel was with him. And so it was, when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, came to Absalom, that Hushai said to Absalom, "Long live the king, long live the king." So Absalom said to Hushai, "Is this your loyalty to your friend? Why did you not go with your friend?" And Hushai said to Absalom, "No, but whom the Lord and his people and all the men of Israel choose, his I will be, and with him I remain. Furthermore, whom shall I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son? And if I have served in your father's presence, so will I be in your presence." And Absalom said to Ahithophel, "Give advice as to what we should do." And Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Go into your father's concubines, whom he has left to keep the house, and all Israel will hear that you are abhorred by your father. Then the hands of all who are with you will be strong." So they pitched a tent for Absalom on the top of the house, and Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. Now the advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as if one had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the advice of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom.
Glory be to God forever and ever. I mean, a couple of names we need to remember. Absalom is the son of David. Probably you covered that last week. And he was not loyal to his dad. He turned on his dad one day, and he would like to take the kingdom of his dad. So he's doing something extremely wrong and extremely bad. to his dad. Either in the 21st century, we couldn't accept at all what Absalom was doing, and exactly the same at that time, it was extremely looked at as a very bad thing that Absalom is doing to his dad. Three other persons in this chapter I would like to bring your attention to. One of them is the very hard name here of at the beginning. It is Mephibosheth was one of the servants of David, and he was very loyal to David. And he came with donkeys because David was escaping from Absalom. Absalom could, over a couple of years, get a lot of people with him, and they shouted and they say, Absalom is the king. And he was doing things which is manipulating people, being very, very nice to them for years, so that their hearts, the heart of the people, came to the son of the king. He was giving them a lot of respect, and he was giving them a lot of gifts, and he was trying to be very good to them, which was not a genuine thing. He was playing a big game, trying to take the heart of people to him. So sometimes people can be nice for a reason, and sometimes people can be nice genuinely. So Absalom was not nice to the people genuinely, but he has a plan in his mind. But he was not a lawyer, he was not a true friend. Sometimes we have people who are respecting us and smiling and saying very good things because they need business from us. They take back something from us. Like when you travel in a luxury place or in a high class airplane, people are extremely nice with you because you are paying for that. It's understood. And some people by nature are very nice. They are very nice, even if they don't take anything from you. But by nature, they can help you without waiting for something from you. Absalom was the type of person who take a reward from what he is doing. He get all the hearts of people to love him, but he was fake. He was not a true leader, and he didn't love them for free. He loved them so that he can have this revolution against his dad, and they can come with him. And that the whole thing was wrong, because David was a man of God. He has been anointed by the Lord. He was very beloved. He bring a lot of glory to the people of Israel. No reason that Absalom can take this beautiful king away from the nation of God. So he was doing extremely wrong thing. It is beautiful when you do things to people, nice, to be generous, to show love without waiting anything from them. Because Jesus said, if you are paid here on earth, when you go to heaven, you don't have any more to be paid. So a good idea for a Christian person is to try to give without waiting to take back. This is what the Lord said, as Christian, you should be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Because people around you probably doesn't do anything for free, or majority of them. But if you are true Christian, you try to help for free. You try to give comfort to people around you for free. I know a person who is a good Christian person, is a pharmacist. Came from Egypt a couple of years ago, and he's a very good true Christian. And he started to study to be a nurse for the nursing home, nurse in a nursing home. And I just wonder why. You are very smart. You can have your degree qualifying your degree here in Australia, and you can be a very good pharmacist. Why you'd like to be a nurse? And he said, because I love very much to serve those people extra, not as a job, but I would like to be very nice to them. I would like to take the chance to serve those elderly people in a very good way. So that is something beyond my pay, something beyond the normal job I am doing. I am doing extra for the sake of the Lord. And this is the true Christianity. Someone told me about this person. I know him, but someone is telling me about that he changed his career so that while he's doing his work, he serves the people. And he chose that because I guess he visited some nursing home while he was here, and he found that the people deserve more care than the normal care a person can give because he getting paid. So he loved to do that, and I love that very much. Remind me of Mother Teresa when she went to India. She doesn't know India at all. She doesn't have any relative in India. She doesn't have anyone in India to know. But she went to a strange country, to strange people, to strange language, so that I can serve the Lord and I can get the reward in heaven. And I'm quite sure that Mother Teresa in heaven has a great reward. Absalom was not this type. Absalom was a type of a businessman. I can give only when I take back, but I cannot give for free. So although he was very kind with the people of Israel, people were around him, a lot of people were around him. A lot of people were deceived and went with him. And so the David was in a very big trouble, very, very big trouble. Thousands of people were with Absalom. The problem, the real problem with David was not fighting Absalom, because he was the king and he was very much beloved. And the kings around him loved him very much. He could go to some kings around him. He can get army. But you know what is the problem with David? Anyone knows what is the problem? The big problem of David is not the fight. The fight he can fight. He was a mighty man. And in the Bible here, as the last few verses, if you remember, when Ahithophel said about David, he said that he's a mighty man. No one can. He's a man who win against Saul by himself. He's a very strong man. The Lord is with him as well. You know what's the problem with David in this fight? Who can get the problem of David? Why he didn't want to fight? Why he escaped from Absalom? Escaped a lot, and they took some people, 600 people went with him. The people of the king, the loyal people of the king, went out of him. Why? Because he's scared, or because there is some noble reason behind his escape? A very clear thing. The one who is fighting with him is what? Who is fighting against David? His son, his own son. And this is a problem. The problem is, I can lose my kingdom, but I cannot lose my son. He's my son. And this is the nobility of David. This is David, the heart of David. That's why it is so beautiful when we study 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, because of the personality of David. Personality of David is so close to a true Christian person, to a true faithful person, to a true servant of the Lord. Beautiful heart. I can lose my kingdom, but my son is much more precious than the kingdom. I will leave, I will escape. And then when the head of the army went after Absalom, he told him, I have a favor to ask you. And he said, what's the favor? The king asking the head of the army. He said, be nice with my son. Don't kill my son, please. And the head of the army was very, very powerful and was very harsh. And they said, we are losing here our lives. The man is very strong, Absalom. And he has everyone with him and he's going to kill us. How come you tell me, be nice with Absalom? He cried when he knew that in the next chapter, I'm going to let you know what's happening in the next chapter from now, that Absalom is going to be killed and David is going to cry a lot for his son Absalom. Although he was a betrayer, but he loved his son very much. What the Lord said about David? The Lord said about David that if you search the heart of David, who knows the rest of this verse? It's a very famous verse. If you search the heart of David, you will find him according to, anyone remember? According to my own heart. The Lord didn't say this to anyone except to David. He said, if you search the heart of David, you will find his heart is according to my heart, similar to my heart. That's why when we study the story of David and the personality of David, we come very close to understand how the Lord looks like. The Lord can lose anything, but he cannot lose you as his son. The Lord can lose his own son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, because of your soul to be saved in heaven. And this is the heart of David. I can lose everything. I can lose my kingdom, but my son, I cannot fight. That's the only reason David was escaping from this fight and escaping from Absalom. Not because he's weak, not because he's not winning, but because he loved Absalom very much. Maybe another lesson for us, that sometimes you may lose something, but you not lose a friend. You may lose something, but you not lose a friend. If you have a fight, you and the friend, about something, you may leave the materialistic thing. You may choose to lose it, but I'm not losing this person, because this person is my friend. Pope Shenouda says a beautiful words along the line with this. He said that you may lose a case, you may lose a court case, but you don't lose a friend. Lose a court case, but don't lose a friend. A friend is much more valuable than a decision. That's what, why sometimes here at St. Mark Church, as priests, we go together, that someone, I'll tell you what's happened these days. We had our phones about 2.5 years ago, and it's due to be changed. The company is calling us to change the phones. And one of the priests say that iPhone 6 came and it looks very nice. And one of the priests said, we have a WhatsApp together, all four of us, and we keep playing during the day. We don't do our job here, and Adil knows maybe, dead on the phone. So one of the priests say, okay, what about to look into Samsung? And the other three priests say, all right, whatever you like to do, we are happy. Doesn't really matter. But we get the same thing. It doesn't really matter. The one who said iPhone 6, doesn't really matter. As long as we have the same phone, as long as we share the same facility, it's easy to communicate with one another. It's easy to make one of the priests happy because he likes one of the brand or one of the phones than the others. The others three said, that's fine. It doesn't really matter. So it, in life, people are much more worthy than materialistic thing. I have a niece, and this niece living in Egypt, and she came to visit me here 3 months ago. And she has a one-year-old baby, a girl baby. And Abuna Ya'ub came to visit me in my house a couple of months ago, and the niece and her daughter were staying with me at home. And she's one year and a couple of months. And Abuna get a gift with him. He knows that I have my niece at home and she has a baby. So she get a gift, some small thing. And he gave it to her. And she didn't look into what Abuna is giving her. And she looked to Abuna and she smiled to him. And she tried to say, thank you that you would like to be nice to me, that you like to give me something. And Abuna said, this girl is very special. She loves people much more than materials. People are much more worthy. And I told him, you know what, Abuna, since she was born, she's like that. She loves very much to play with people, to get to know more people. She's now 1.5 years of age and so. But still, when she goes to kindergarten, she goes and play with people. The people are much more worthy than materialistic thing. And this is a lesson we understand from David, that people are much more worthy than materials. When you have a friend is much more worthy than anything that can make a division between you and the friend. You can leave something, but you can keep the friend. And this is a wisdom of David. This is a lesson from David we can learn tonight, that people are much more worthy than things. Things can go and come, but I'm not losing a friend. I'm not losing my mom and dad relationship because I'm insist to do something and my mom or my dad ask me to do something else and I insist to do my thing. No, it's better to win the peace with mom and dad much more than the things that it can be, I don't like to do that and my mom would like me to do that or my partner or something like that. It can happen. So David is teaching all this today. A second person here today is I would like to introduce is Abishai. Abishai was the head of the army, and he was a very harsh man, very successful army officer. He had a lot of win against enemies. With David, he has a lot of battles, and he won a lot of battles. And he was working with David as chief of the army, and with David was a couple of hundreds of people as a king, and his wives and his other kids, and everyone was escaping on a mountain. The third person I would like you to introduce today is someone called Shammai. Maybe in English, Shammai, is that right? Shammai, is that right? Shimi. Shimi is one of the stories that I love very much in the Bible. Or this incident that happened with Shimi and David is very beautiful incidents, and I would like to start talking about this incident today. That Shimi was from the house of Saul. You know the story that David took the kingdom from Saul. The kingdom started from Saul. The one who should take the kingdom is Jonathan. But Jonathan was a very lovely friend to David and said, I know that the Lord chose you, David, so I don't want the kingdom. And this caused a lot of trouble between Saul and his son Jonathan, because Saul would like Jonathan to have the kingdom, But Jonathan knows that this is the will of God, that David is going to be the king. And he loved David very much. He said, I don't mind at all that you are going to be the king. And he defended him very much in 1 Samuel, if you remember. So Shimei was from the house of Saul. And Saul has been, the kingdom has been taken from his house to David. So this guy explained why this guy is very angry from David. He's waiting. He has a lot of revenge in his heart and a lot of hate in his heart against David, because David is the enemy who took the kingdom from the house of Saul, and he was from the house of Saul. So while David is escaping, this guy came, and they were escaping below a mountain, and this guy was over the mountain, like a couple of 100 meters or 100 meters over him. And they start to swear against the king, and they start to say, you are not worthy, and you are foolish, and they start to say very bad words against the king, and say, this day I was waiting for a long time that you are going to be escaping, fleeing from your enemies, and you are going to be killed because you are bad. The blood of Saul is in your hand. And that's not all true, all lies, because David didn't kill Saul. David had a chance many times to kill Saul, but he never touched him. He say all the time, I cannot touch the Christ of the anointed person of the Lord. He didn't touch him at all. But this man lies, and this is a symbol of Satan. Shimei was a symbol of Satan, that is accuse people falsely. That David was very innocent, but he started to accuse him and swear against him falsely. And the beauty of David in this verse, I love this very much. When Abishai, the head of the army, say, let me go up and let me kill him like a dog. And this is the arrogant way of a powerful army chief, that the way he's talking to. But David has a totally different heart. David was thinking that anything can happen to me has a reason from the Lord. He is a man that his eyes and his mind is thinking of the Lord. Anything bad happened to me, there is a message from the Lord. And anything good happens from me, the Lord is behind. So he cannot take incidents happened in life lightly. He cannot think of every incident as it come as a result of something I do. But he looking to the Lord and say, Lord, you are teaching me a lesson. There is something you are going to teach me from these incidents. His heart and his eyes is on the Lord. And I love that when he told him, the Lord told him to swear against the king. Don't do anything from him. The problem is not between me and him. The problem is between the Lord. He's trying to teach me something. A person that his ears and his heart is very responsive to what the Lord would like to teach him. In some tribulation in life, the Lord is sometimes teaching us something. He's telling us something. He's telling us repent. He's telling us that you are arrogant. He's telling us that through this tribulation, I would like you to have a virtue. I remember Mother Basilia Schlink one day. She said something so beautiful. She said that Mother Basilia Schlink is a nun, a German nun who established a sisterhood in Germany in 1914 during the First World War. And the sisterhood grew very much in Germany, that she has many convent and many nuns around here, and she start to go outside Germany. One of the places she went to is Australia. She has here a convent, and there are a lot of nuns who are sisterhood of Mary, that is belonging to Mother Basilia Schlink. And Mother Basilia Schlink said, one day while I was little in the Bible school in Germany, the teacher in the class, Bible school in Germany, it is a place that they stay on board, like they don't go home, they stay a week. And she said the teacher or the main person who deal with them, she didn't like her much, she liked everyone else. And she said, she wrote in her biography that the Lord taught me out of that. She's not angry. She was not at all accusing this lady to be unfair. But her eyes were on the Lord. She say, what you would like to teach me, Lord? because nothing can be done to me except through your hand. If something good happened to me, definitely from your hand. If something bad happened to me, definitely is from your hand. So she wrote a beautiful thing, a chapter, a full chapter about how the Lord taught me not to care much about people who commend me or say something good about me. Doesn't really matter. Doesn't really matter that I hear some nice words from people. And she said in her book that this is what the Lord get me through. I was very unhappy at that time with the way she was dealing with me. It seems that she was discriminating against me very much. But I didn't say anything. I was praying to the Lord all the time that, Lord, open my eyes why she is doing that, or give some peace in her heart to love me a little bit more, because I am suffering from this discrimination. It's not nice. But at the end of the chapter, she said that the Lord taught me how to go in life, not waiting for words of appreciation or words of commend from people, but from you. And this helped me very much in my path after that, as a nun, as a mom, that I don't care much about what people is saying for me. This time when the Lord allowed me to go through this tribulation, it was a lesson for me to be a strong leader, to not be very weak, to not be my peace. I don't get my peace from people around me. If they say some word nice, I'll be happy. If they say something bad, I go home very disturbed and I cannot sleep peacefully. And a lot of anger is in my heart because I'm waiting for my peace from the mouth of people around me. So she said a beautiful chapter about how the Lord taught her that. So it is a matter between David and the Lord. He told his army chief, don't touch this person, because what he is doing is from the Lord. The Lord taught him to say that to David. The words after that is so beautiful. He told him, let the Lord have mercy on me when I go through this tribulation and I'm not answering, I'm not taking revenge. The Lord will have mercy on me. The outcome of that is a mercy from the Lord. And this is exactly what's happened through tribulation. Sometimes when we have tribulation, the Lord have a lot of mercy after that. Is that reminding you of someone in the Old Testament called Job, when he went through some tribulation, very big tribulation actually, and he never blasphemed against the Lord. He accepted the tribulation and his mouth is shut. He didn't answer anything. He didn't say the Lord anything. He didn't blaspheme against the Lord. What's happened after this tribulation finished? The Lord had a lot of mercy on this person. And the Bible saying that what he has before the tribulation, he has tenfold after the tribulation. He has many, many more mercy from the Lord. So David understand this message. David understand the message that the Lord, if I go through tribulation, if this man humiliate me, and I accept that from you, Lord, to be humble, I'm going to have mercy from you. You are going to forgive my sins. I remember my sins. I remember my weakness in many things, and I would like you to humiliate me, please. Please, Lord, allow this to happen so that I have your forgiveness and I have your mercy on me. It's beautiful, beautiful incidents in the Bible. I love it very much. I love it that David in the Old Testament, before Jesus, said that even the number of your hairs are counted in front of me, he believed in that. He believes that Shemi cannot hurt him without the approval from the Lord. The Lord would like to teach him something. It is something between him and the Lord. It is not something between Shemi and him. And he understood that hair, the very number of your hair are counted. That the beautiful verse in Matthew 10:30. Matthew 10:30 has this verse, and I would like very much that if we can remember some verses from the Bible, that they are cornerstones, they are foundation of our Christianity. When Satan attack us and say the Lord is not protecting you anymore, or the Lord is far away from you anymore, you get for him straight away this Matthew 10:30 and tell him, the Lord said even the very number of your hairs are counted in front of the Lord. So I'm not forgotten in front of the Lord, but I'm very much protected by the Lord. Nothing can happen to me without passing through the Lord. So David understood that many years before, 1,000 years actually, before Jesus said this word. He understood that nothing can come to me except from the hand of the Lord. He believed in that. He did leave the New Testament while he was in the Old Testament. That's why he is David. The most beautiful saint in the Old Testament you can ever see is David. And when we go to heaven, I guess we'll find David in a very beautiful place in heaven. And everyone who loved David here on earth is going to try to have a picture with him, I'm sure, to spend some time with him in heaven, because David is so beautiful. He's a lovely personality that is very much nice in the Old Testament. When I ordained as a priest, Amba Daniel came on the day of ordination and asked me, do you have any favorite name to be a priest, to give you as a priest? And I said, David. I love David very much. And Amba Daniel answered a very nice answer and said, would you mind a friend of David? After whatever you say, Sayyidina, it's up to you. Whatever I say, anyway, you are going to do whatever you mind. So I send the friend of David. I didn't get the Jonathan, who friend of David. Say, all right, Sayyidina. I was not in my mind at that day very much. So I say, all right, Sayyidina. I say, Jonathan. I say, that's a good name. So right, yeah. But I love David very much. And then when Abuna David in Brisbane is ordained a couple of years after me, straight away I went to him and said, we are going to be a very good friend, Abuna. He took my name. But Jonathan and David are good friends in the Old Testament, and I love to be a friend of you, with you. I met with him on the ordination on Saturday, that Yasser became Father Joseph, not Yasser anymore. We'll miss the name of Yasser, but he will be Father Joseph, and we have Father Thomas, and that's Father Abraham, beautiful three priests. And I met with Abuna David, and he hugged me and said, you remember, we're still friends? Say, of course, Abuna. We are very, very close friends. And David was a beautiful, beautiful personality, and these incidents teach us how all the time look into the Lord. If I have trouble in my life, I look to the Lord and say, Lord, please help me to take this trouble. Or you teach me something, Lord. Allow me to learn from you what you like to teach me, Lord. When a person goes to work and his boss is very harsh and he has a problem with his boss and he come to Abuna and say, I'm suffering a lot. My boss is treating me extremely bad, or I have a problem with that. And I say, this is something between you and the Lord. Pray to the Lord, and your destiny and your relationship with people, the Lord can play in the heart of the people, and he can save you. And David was very wise, very deep, when he said, it is something between me and the Lord. Let him swear at me. The Lord would like to teach me some humility at this time. The Lord allowed this to happen. I'll take that from the hand of the Lord, and I will be happy. Pope Shenouda, at the beginning of his patriarchate, about 6-7 years, Sadat came against him very badly. He accused him and he tortured him badly with words, and he accused him of being the reason for all the trouble between Christian and Muslim in the country, and all that was false. It was not true at all. So what what the Pope did, he went to the monastery and he stayed crying to the Lord and say, Lord, this is something you would like me to cry. You would like me to humiliate myself. It is not something that I can prove. He never defended himself against the president. He never came into an interview and he said, I was innocent or I didn't do anything. He went and cried to the Lord and say, Lord, please teach me something from this. You allow this to happen. I don't know why. Maybe you would like to, me being a very famous pope, a very famous man in the world, you would like to teach me to be humble. Maybe. Maybe you would like the Christian people to pray more. Maybe you would like the Coptic people to fast for some time. You'd like to teach us something. He went to the monastery and they prayed to the Lord. And after a very few weeks after that, the Lord answered the prayer, and Sadat was taken away by some of the people whom he considered the closest people to him. One of them killed him after a couple of weeks. And the idea is, when problem happened, go to the Lord and say, Lord, you would like to teach me something. And on the other hand also, when something good happened in your life, you go and thank the Lord for the good thing that happened. You never take the good thing as my own study. I passed the exam because I'm smart. I got this job because the interview was very good and I was very smart in the interview. The people of the Lord doesn't do that at all. The people of the Lord always say, Noshkur Rabbena. And I learned Noshkur Rabbena is an Arabic word. But I have someone, one of the youth, I love him very much, that every time I ask about him, asking about his exam, his work, and Daiman, he answer in Arabic. He's born here in Australia, and his English is much more stronger than his Arabic. But I love him, we answer and say, Noshkur Rabbena. We all like that in an accent way of Arabic, that I love it when he says, Noshkur Rabbena. And is really a person that when anything good happens in my life, it is from your hand, Lord. I should thank you very much for the things you are doing with me. If the day pass well, I thank the Lord at the end of the day. That's why we should pray, and we should pray thanksgiving prayer to tell him, thank you, Lord, for everything. Thank you for your protection. Thank you very much that the day pass well. Thank you that I am safe, that my mom and my dad are safe, that my partner and my kids are safe. I thank you, Lord. I don't take that for granted, but I really thank you. And this is what David is teaching us in this chapter. How to look into the Lord, how to know that everything happened in my life, it didn't happen without a permission of the Lord, even if it is good or bad, whether it is good or bad. Both of them happening with the hand of the Lord. A beautiful youth came to me a couple of weeks ago, and they said, I thank the Lord very much because Abuna, I would have been dead. He was coming to church. I would have been dead 5 minutes ago, but the Lord protected my life. And I said, what's happened? He said that I was coming to that church and entering to, you know, when you come from Wollongong Road and you turn right into the railway parade to get into the car park. So you're coming from the side road into the railway Station Street is the one in the car park. Is that right, Megan? Station Street, yeah, I think so. Station Street, yeah. Station Street in the, and he was coming from the side road, and Station Street is a very long road, so people drive 60 or something like that on that. And he said that I came to the Station Street, and then I heard a car that brake very strongly, that I look and say, who is crazy is doing something? And he discovered that he came into the street not noticing that there is a car driving at 60 kilometers an hour, is coming in the street normally, and he went into the street without noticing the car. He said, I looked right and left and I didn't see the car. Simply, I went into the street without seeing the car. And the man was 1 millimeter from hitting me, and the car stopped. And the Lord protected me today, and the Lord protected my life. He gave me a new life today, and I think it is beautiful when you see the hand of the Lord in your life. Maybe a person who is not close to the Lord, when this happened, he may not remember the Lord. He may that he's a good driver. The other person is a very good driver, or he has a good car that he can brake on a spot. So, but he cannot think of the Lord. But this person straight away thought that the Lord would like to extend his life a couple of more years, and he came and said, I thank the Lord very much for that. It's beautiful in Christianity that we thank the Lord, and it is very ugly for human being when the Lord makes the sun shine every day, when he makes the fruits comes out of trees and the crops comes out of land, and the person doesn't realize that the Lord is doing all that. He's just eating and drinking and swear against God and say, where is God? And if God is not there, rivers cannot have water. You cannot drink. If God is not there, you may be burned by the sun. If God is not there, you cannot eat fruits. You cannot eat anything. It is Lord mercy that bring you everything. That's why in the Coptic Mass, we have litanies for the land, for the rivers, for the crops, for the fruits, We have litany to thank the Lord. We say, Lord, thank you very much that you provide us food in due course. You never forget us, Lord. You allow food to be there. You allow us to go to the market to have some food to eat. This is from you, Lord, because if you forgot about us, we can die. You make the fruits comes. You make the rains comes. Because if we don't have rain, we don't have food. But thank you very much that you still provide for us food, Lord. If you stop the rain one day, we are going to die. If you stop the rain, if you stop the cultivation of things and the farming things, we are going to die. It's out of your love, Lord, that you allow us all that. So as Christian people, we should all the time look into the Lord. At the time of good time, we thank the Lord. And the time of tribulation, we understand the message from the Lord. That's why Amba Pola, he is a friend of Saint Anthony, the first hermit. He said a beautiful saying. I love this saying very much. He say, who escaped from tribulation, who reject the tribulation, who get very angry from tribulation, he is escaping from God. Man yahrab min al-diqa, yahrab min Allah. Because sometimes the tribulation bring us close to the Lord. It has within it some lessons for us to practice humbleness, to practice repentance, to repent, to come back to ourselves and to humble ourselves in front of God and say, Lord, what's wrong I have done, Lord, that you are allowing me this to happen, Lord? What would you like to teach me, Lord? Am I not repentant, Lord? Am I not humble enough? Am I not worshiping you enough, Lord? Or what's happened with me? Tribulation usually end up with a lot of blessing and a lot of mercy coming to us. So this incident of David with the Shemi is something that teach us very much to deal with the Lord directly, to understand what the Lord would like to teach us in our life, but not people. When things happen, you have to go deeper than people around you, and you have to get a message from the Lord. You say, Lord, I would like to hear your voice. You would like to do something with me. I would like to hear your voice. Remind me of Samuel in the Old Testament, when the Lord started to talk to him, and he couldn't recognize the voice of the Lord. He went to Eli the priest, and they say to him, what would you like to say? I say, it's not a human being talking to you. It is the Lord talking to you. The Lord would like to talk to you. Some people are very much experienced to hear the voice of the Lord. In every instance, when they open the Bible, they can hear the voice of the Lord. When they come to the church and listen to the reading of the gospel or the sermon of Abuna, they come out with a message of repentance, message of changing my life, message of teaching from the Lord I need to apply in my life. And some people goes and go out and they didn't get any message from the Lord. Blessed is David when he got the message from the Lord. Lord, you would like to humble me. You would like me to pray. You would like me to say, Lord, have mercy on me, and you are going to give me mercy if I go through this tribulation thanking you. Beautiful hero in the Bible, David. His life and his actions are so beautiful lessons for us as Christian people. And the beautiful chapter 16, is a very special chapter when he was escaping from Absalom, but he considered kingdom is nothing beside his son or beside the human being. He doesn't want to win the kingdom. He would like to win his son. And also that my eyes is upon you, Lord. Everything happened in my life. It cannot happen without your permission. I am living here on earth. You are managing my life, Lord. You are protecting me. You are allowing things good to happen to me to thank you. And you allow sometimes tribulation to happen to me for my own goodness. I'm not at all escaping from tribulation, Lord. When tribulation comes, I'll say, Lord, you would like to teach me a message. And after the tribulation, 100% there is a mercy of the Lord, as David said. David said, he said that, and I am happy this has been said, so that after that, I'm going to have a lot of mercy. The Lord is going to make me very happy. Remind me of Jesus when he went onto the mountain, and Satan came to him, attacking him, one trial after the other. After he stand strong against the trials, angels came from heaven and they start to serve him. And this is the nature of heaven. When you go through tribulation, 100% you are going to have a lot of mercy from the Lord, a lot of blessing from the Lord. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen. Yes.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
David takes this incident really well. I mean, he seems really humble when he takes it now, as you're saying.
Yeah.
But then later on, when he hands the kingdom over to Solomon, his son, he says, kill Shimei.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I can't really understand that.
Yeah, yeah. Because in this incident, in that incident, he was looking for the mercy of God, and he didn't want to do anything bad at all. It is, you are talking about the last chapter of 2 Samuel, when he was, when he told his son how to manage your, and he told him for the future there are some people are going to be enemies for you. For me, myself, I was strong enough to control them. I was strong enough to give mercy to them. So I could control them. But you are going to start as young. Those people, they are going to be very risky. They are going to attack you. Maybe are not as strong as me, as experienced as me, to fight those people. So take care of those people. And he told him that. And he said one word, Paul, explaining why he came again, and Shimei, he told his son Solomon to kill him. He said that he has done a lot of things against the house of the Lord. So it is not only against me. In this particular incident in chapter 16, Shimei was the first time to show his hatred to David. First time. So he allowed him to go. But after that, Shimei, you are going to see in the next few chapters, his name is going to be repeated in annoying again David a couple of times, and in annoying the house of the Lord. So it became not something personal I can forgive, but something again in the church. I can forgive something personal, but I cannot forgive something in the church. So sometimes a priest can be harsh on something to be done in the church, which is again in the church. For example, sometimes after Sunday Mass, I found kids are sitting here drinking and eating in the church. And I feel this is not something personal to say that's okay. If they eat in my car, that's fine. I can take that. But in eating in the church, it is the house of the Lord. They have to respect the house of the Lord. So that when they come to church, they know this is the house of the Lord. We have to keep it clean. We have to come to pray, but not to sit down and drink and eat and so on. So I don't let it go. Every time after the Mass, when I'm going and I find some kids here, say, Habibi, please, this is the house of the Lord. Go out and eat whatever or drink whatever you like. I cannot let it go. But I can let it go in my office, can let it go in my home, I can let it go in my car. It is a personal thing, but it's not things related to the Lord. So in the last chapter, Paul, David is going to tell his son that those people had a lot. They dare a lot to harm the house of the Lord and the people of the Lord. So it is not a personal thing. It is something against the Lord. Yeah. Any other questions? Thank you very much for being with us tonight. God bless you. Should I push here?